First service, I was crying like a baby, and rain falling down from all that music. So good. While we have someone from AV up here, I would like to thank them for the brilliant work on our screens. What do you think? This is the new one. This is the old one. Now, today I'm going to preach a health message. And when we have clear minds, we will see the future like this, right? And not like this. All right, so I praise the Lord for that object lesson on a day of a very, very encouraging and challenging message. So please pray for me while I preach, and we're going to break the bread of life here and do some very interesting study. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your love and your tender care. I praise you for your goodness and your mercy and your love. Thank you for revealing things to your servants, the prophets, and for sharing them in your word to give us hope for a future, Lord. And I pray, let us have hope now. Let us have wisdom, keen insight. Please send your spirit to reign, Lord. I pray, set a guard before my lips, and may your spirit speak through me, and let us come out of this more prepared for your coming. And Lord, please help us to keep searching now. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask these things. Amen. All right, now, first service, I talked about the blue zones. The blue zones, let me give you a quick overview, a 30-second snap. A 2005 National Geographic studied places for people who live the longest, and they found them all over the world, but not in the United States. So the editor said, find one in America. And so they studied, and they found Loma Linda because it had the highest concentration of Seventh-day Adventists. They found that Adventists live approximately 10 times longer. The Blue Zone started a corporation and started implementing the ideals from our religion and other places that live a long time, putting them into practice into entire communities. And in one instance, they actually raised the life expectancy of the entire community by approximately 3 years. It's incredible. They've been helping hundreds of millions of people, and it's all based off of lifestyle out of this book. Well, let me read a text for you. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we're going to study Daniel. Now, Daniel, you know Daniel was 10 times wiser, right? After 3 years. And we just went through a three-year-long health message, health crisis. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool, since the Blue Zones, you know, are Adventists are famous about this thing, and we have the health message, if Adventists kind of turned out after those 3 years as being wiser somehow. And I am a researcher. I have a background in research. I have 2 research degrees. I have a PhD in risk communication. And I'm going to study some of that stuff with you because I studied risk. I also like to be a watchman and look at things. So we're going to do some exploration now that's going to be very, very interesting. So before we do that, though, we need to know where we're at in Bible prophecy. So I'm going to set the context. Remember, we're studying Daniel, right? So let's do a little study here. Babylon, then and now. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 2, please, if you are interested. I'm going to go through the Bible here for a few examples, and then we're going to cut to the chase, and you're going to have to be a Berean and go and look some of these things up, but I will give you verses. And Daniel was escaping me. All right, we do need to be searching the scriptures, friends. All right, let's go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 37, our first parallel between, we're going to study literal Babylon, where God's people were back in the day, and we're going to study spiritual Babylon, where God's people are in the end times. And those parallels are going to hopefully bring up something quite astounding. All right. Daniel 2:37. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom,
power, strength, and glory. Who was that? Nebuchadnezzar. What kingdom was he in charge of? Babylon. All right. Now, let's go to Revelation 17, please. Revelation 17. Okay, so Revelation, let's start with verse 1. It says, now one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Verse 5, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Verse 18, and the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So we have a Babylon. There's a woman sitting on it who represents a false church who reigns over the kings of the earth. And who is that? Well, good evidence to know who it is. The papal power, right? Doesn't mean everyone in the church is doing something wrong. However, who in the Dark Ages ruled over the kings of the earth? It was the papacy. It was the papal power. So I'm not talking about individuals in the church. I'm talking about a power system put in prophecy. All right. It's called Nebuchadnezzar, King of Kings. Spiritual Babylon has a mother of harlots and is a ruler of kings. Okay, first parallel. Next one, little Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar, something went to his head called pride. He spoke pompous words, didn't he? And as he was speaking those words, what happened? A voice came from heaven, and he was humbled, taken down from the throne, right? And he ate grass. Remember that? All right. And you can read about that in Daniel 5:20. Spiritual Babylon speaks pompous words, right? And they were humbled, right? They received a deadly wound, but then they received power again. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 13. Next parallel, we're doing 7. Literal Babylon was killed the saints, took them captive, and a remnant was left. Correct? Spiritual Babylon in the Dark Ages killed the saints, took them captive, and a remnant was left. And in the future, they'll receive power to persecute again, spiritual Babylon. All right, next, literal Babylon. The majority of God's people are in Babylon. Right? When the Jews got taken away, most of them were there. And they were called out to worship and keep the commandments. In Ezra 7, 23 to 25, it says, whatever is commanded by God of heaven, they were supposed to go back and implement. Spiritual Babylon. In Revelation, the majority of God's people are in spiritual Babylon and they're called out. In Revelation 18, 1 to 4, and Revelation 14, 6 to 12, they're called out to keep his commandments. And they join a remnant, if you read Revelation 12, 17. Literal Babylon, destroyed after 3 calling outs. Spiritual Babylon, destroyed after 3 angels' messages. So are you noticing a pattern? Is there a pattern? All right. All right. Literal Babylon had a finger on the wall declaring it was fallen after false worship, mixing what was holy with what was profane. Spiritual Babylon, there's a loud cry of revelation declaring that they're fallen, and that's after false worship. All right, last one. And this is where we transition back to Daniel being wiser. All right. In literal Babylon, Daniel chose, he was given some food, he did not want to eat it, right? And he said, instead of eating the king's meat or food and drinking the wine, I'm going to choose the diet of the creator, correct? All right, and then in end times Babylon, we have a 3 angels' messages that says, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and him who made, that's a creator, heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whatever therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see the parallels? All right. I don't mind an amen. You might not want to give them through the whole thing, but there's a few places where I might need some. Okay, that's all right. As the Lord leads, no pressure. All right, now, at the end of Babylon, there's a health disagreement. Excuse me. There's a health disagreement in Babylon. After 3 years, God's people are 10 times wiser. We're going to study that. This is going to be amazing. And if we look through the framework of literal Babylon, thank you, to see the future of spiritual Babylon. So let's look through a lens really quick. All right, 10 times wiser. The blue zones and a health disaster. I'm a risk researcher. When this COVID hit, I was studying all sorts of risk reduction and hazard ratios having to do with nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and trust in God. And I could find where each one of those things would reduce your risk. I thought, wouldn't it be cool if there was just some way to verify that if you put all these together, we would be a strong people against something like the coronavirus. And you have to wait sometimes to find research, but I found it. And it's through the lens of blue zones. That's why that introduction was so important. Now, here's a little study for us. By the way, we have that documentary about us. Well, it featured the five zones. One disappeared. Adventism is still there. But let me just talk about the lessons we can learn from the blue zones. And I'm going to tell you something about that documentary in just a second. Okay, there's an article in the Hellenic Journal of Cardiology. All right, and it's called this, Extremely Reduced COVID-19 Mortality in a Blue Zone, an Observational Cohort Study. All right, this is my introduction. The second one's going to blow your minds, I hope. All right, this is what they found. Regarding mortality, 0.4 people per 1,000 residents die due to COVID-19. So that's 0.4, all right? 0.4 per 1,000 residents died due to COVID-19. This is in Icariot. That's one of the blue zones. Icaria, pardon me. Now, these rates are significantly lower when compared to the Greek population, where they had a mortality of 2.19 per 1,000 inhabitants. That's one-fifth. If you were in the blue zone, the COVID deaths compared to the area that was not in the blue zone. Is that amazing? Praise the Lord, huh? All right, now, this is where things get very interesting. All right, another one. This is the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Perspective, can a plant-based diet help mitigate COVID-19? What was Daniel's diet? He went back to the creation. Now, here's what they found. It's kind of too good to be true, but let's just read it. It's peer-reviewed research, my friends. All right. Whew. Analyzing data. They're going to go through a couple studies, and I'm going to get to the amazing part. Analyzing data from over 500,000 participants, previous researchers showed that a dietary pattern characterized by a healthy plant-based foods was associated with a 9% lower risk of COVID-19 infection and a 41% lower risk of severe COVID-19. The dietary data from 568 COVID-19 cases and 2,316 controls from the healthcare workers from six countries, part of it was USA, with substantial exposure to COVID-19 patients have demonstrated that those following a plant-based diet have a 73% lower risk of moderate to severe COVID-19. Now it gets better. June 16, 2021, the COVID mortality in Okinawa, Japan, that's one of the blue zones, was 0.08%, which was 1/16 of that of Tokyo. Now, Okinawa is roughly the size of Tokyo. 1/16 the mortality being in a blue zone. Now, here's what blows my mind. If that wasn't good enough, I went to Statistica.com. It's a global business and intelligence platform. This is where they got the data for being the 1/16th death rate. All right. Now, and this was published March 17, 2022 is the last data they got for it. Tokyo had 4,021 COVID deaths. Okinawa, blue zone, had 433. Question, what is 4,000 divided by 400? It's 10. 10 times wiser. Praise the Lord. I was blown away by this. Pray that I can stand up. All right. So that's the nutrition for COVID-19, and I want to give you just a little more evidence in case some people say, well, there's no epidemiological evidence for this. Let's look at this for a second. Flavanols, as a potential antiviral drugs targeting SARS-CoV-2. This was written when the pandemic, in the midst of it, 2021. Look where it's published at the bottom here. Press the wrong button. The European Journal of Pharmacology. A pharmacology journal is saying a source of possible drugs and vaccines candidate against this pandemic is flavanols. Where are they found? This class of secondary metabolites occurs abundantly in a variety of medicinal plants, fruits, and vegetables. Who knew that would make a good vaccine? Praise the Lord. All right, now, I'm not down on anyone who chose one way or the other, right? I have a higher purpose here, although that will be discussed in some measure. But I'm not. This is not denigration of anyone. This is a let's stop and think for a minute. All right, supplements. They analyzed over 300,000 people in the United Kingdom. And what did they find? These are the approximate risk reductions and for SARS-CoV-2. Then this is for testing positive. This was for testing positive. All right. Now, these results were only significant for women, but hey, let's look at it. If you took probiotics, your risk reduction was 14%. If you took omega-3 fatty acids, in the U.S., you had a 21% reduction in testing positive. Multivitamins, 13%. Vitamin D, 22% in one. Overall, 9%. On the low range, your risk of getting COVID-19 was dropped by almost 50%. On the high range, it was around 70% if you took those supplements. Where do those supplements, most of them come from? What you eat. By the way, the guy that ran this study, Professor Tim Spector from the Zoe COVID Symptom Study app, where they got all this information from, said you're better off focusing on getting a healthy diet with diverse fresh vegetables and fruits, which should give you all the nutrients you need for a healthy immune system. Imagine walking through the blueberry bushes and picking your little vaccines right there. Oh, wouldn't that be delicious? That's the Adventist health message, my dear friends. All right, now, we're going to go back and review Daniel. Please, some of this is going to be challenging, but we need to look at it. In the story of Daniel, I'm going to go there. Daniel chapter 1. Maybe I won't. Yeah, I will. Let the word speak, right? All right. Daniel and the king had different views on health, right? Who prescribed that dinner or the meal? It was the king. All right. What did they think was going to happen? Verse 10. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your face as looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. What was he afraid of something? Yeah, okay. Now, where do you think the king and the eunuch, there's no new thing under the sun, where do you think the king and the eunuch got their health information? Well, we don't know, right? So we shouldn't speculate too far. But I'm imagining there were medical advice from the day saying this was the bed diet, the best diet. Now, remember, we could learn from the future and from the past. We have a lot of people conflicting things. And in order, if we want to know the truth, where do we have to go? We have to go to the Word. Daniel went to the Word, remembered the creation diet, and he came off with a better situation. All right, so the chief of the eunuchs feared for the health would be worse. The king set the daily delicacies in the wine. Daniel's conscientious rights were denied the first time. However, he found mercy from another section of government. I find that very interesting parallel. Daniel and his friends were exalted and found 10 times wiser. Looking back, you can now see how powerful it was. And I think we should wake up and see how powerful our health message is. And we should reconsider where we get our information. Not that you shouldn't trust science or your government. Praise the Lord for our nation, and praise the Lord for science. I am a scientist by trade. All right, let's keep going. Are we going to set a precedent here? There's a pattern in Daniel 1, 2, and 3. Now, this is going to sound crazy, but so far there's a pattern going, is there not? All right. In Daniel 1, there was a health crisis. There was a health mandate. Another portion of government stayed the mandate. And it was not as effective as it was believed. They said it was going to stop transmission, and it didn't stop transmission. Number 2, Daniel 2, the future was told. I think it's time for us to, as Adventists, to be telling the future right now. In Daniel 3, an image was set up, and there was a worship mandate that was also not effective. And they said, if you don't worship, what's going to happen to you? You're going to burn. Is that message going around in our... We're going to come back to that. Okay, so COVID. Literal Babylon, there was a mandate about what goes in your body, then a mandate about how you worship at the end. In the end, there is a mandate about what goes in your body, and there's a way out, and there's a mandate about worship. And here's my question. If our religion is too aligned with Babylon, we could lose the distinction between the common and the holy, and we could lose control over bodies, and we could end up worshiping wrong. What do I mean? Setting precedents. This is, if you went to the University of California during the pandemic, this is what they had on their website. Religious belief exemption, education resources. They're going to educate you if you want a vaccine exemption. All right? Here's what they say. I couldn't find this recently. It might still be up. I don't know. But I got these screen clippings a little while ago. Religious belief exemption, educational resources. If you have requested or plan to request an exemption to the University of California SARS-CoV-2 vaccination program policy based on a religious objection, we would like to share the following information with you. What do they want to share? These resources are organized by issue. Religions are listed alphabetically, followed by related issues at the end. Please scroll to find the issues that are relevant to your beliefs. So they're now going to tell you what you believe. Are you ready? All right. And they bring up our Adventist website. And they say this. They say that Adventists say, and I did it again. All right. As such, we encourage responsible immunization vaccination. And we have no religious or faith-based reason not to encourage our adherents to responsibly participate in protective and preventative immune programs. We value the self... Okay, you guys got that? Next, the Seventh-day Adventist Church states specifically with respect to the COVID-19 vaccine... As we witness the global magnitude of the pandemic, the deaths, disability, and long-term COVID-19 effects that are emerging in all and age groups, we are encouraging our members to consider responsible immunization. Interesting how that word responsible is always before immunization. And the promotion and facilitation of the development of what is commonly termed. All right, so there it is. And they give you a website. So what are they doing? You want an exemption? because of your religion, we're going to show you what your religion says. And what's their intent? You don't have to guess. All right. Now, here's something from the Adventist Review. It says, when this debate was going on in Adventism, now this, I'm not trying to spark anger on anything, but we need to learn from this, okay? I'm not down on people who have a different view. Not at all. I'm a risk researcher, so let's study. This is very similar to what we have gone through with other public health measures. When society determines the greater good requires the subjection of individual rights as sincerely held as they may be. Do you think that's a very safe statement to make? We're going to study that. All right. Warning about rushing in. So, again, studied risk. According to the CDC, the Cutter incident, anyone know what that is? That's when they rushed a vaccine that ended up hurting people. It said it happened when a polio vaccine killed and paralyzed children. This is the CDC's website. It was the worst. One of the worst, I don't know if this one is, but it is recorded on their website. It was one of the worst biological disasters in American history. It exploded the myth of the invulnerability of science. Now, I like science, okay? It's just not invulnerable. And that was the director of the Vaccine Education Center and professor of pediatrics at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. Now, I do believe he is for vaccines, and I'm not against anyone who is for. I believe we should have choice, and I'll explain that why in a second. Here's one of the reasons. Historians may contribute, therefore, to an improved information environment by highlighting how the past affects the plight of the people enduring the COVID-19 pandemic today. The Cutter incident should remind us in the end that one of the most consequential causes of the disaster originated in the desire to rush and create a solution. That's learning from the past, applying it to the future. I'm not trying to say anything bad about anybody's choice, but we're learning here. All right. In the 1918 Spanish flu, we need to study history here. There's an article that came out in Clinical Infectious Diseases. Where is this? Clinical Infectious Diseases from the National Library of Medicine. Is this a conspiracy? No, it's not. All right. What did they find? They found, look at the bottom line. In the 1918, the U.S. Surgeon General, the U.S. Navy, and the Journal of the American Medical Association recommended use of aspirin just before the October death spike. If these recommendations were followed and if the pulmonary edema occurred in 3% of persons, a significant portion of the deaths may be attributable to aspirin. They were giving people toxic doses because they didn't know what to do. It just lost its patent. Everyone was starting to use it, and they pushed a ton of it. And I'm not against someone who's using the best thing they know how to use. But careful about rushing in is the message. It's not about what you used, all right? Summary of Silence Daily. This aspirin misuse may have made the 1918 flu pandemic worse. And there, the bottom line says, the article sounds a cautionary note. This is my message as a researcher. And I know we're through COVID, but we're going somewhere with this, so please pay attention. A cautionary note, as present-day concerns above the novel H1N1 virus run high. What did it say? A cautionary note. Let me tell you a little bit more of that previous article. Again, this is the Clinical of Infectious Diseases, all right? That journal. Let me read from that word for word. More recently, influenza deaths have been attributed to salicylate. I believe that's the aspirin. Thank you. From the 1950s to the 1980s, thousands of deaths among children following influenza and other infections, example Rafe syndrome, were unexplained until studies identified aspirin as the major contributor and aspirin labels warnings were followed by a disappearance of the condition. All right. And also, a recent avian influenza A associated fatality involved Ray syndrome and aspirin use. And several autopsies of persons who had avian influenza revealed hemorrhagic lungs, fatty liver changes and swollen kidneys consistent with salicylate intoxication. Now, I think you should use what you have available and what you think is best. But I think you should have a choice. And that's the stance that this church has taken. And if someone says they're anti-something, that's a miscommunication. All right, so pandemic math. We're going to study this for just a second. This is going to be another one of those sad moments. All right, I did not put this here. Yes, it is. All right. Here we go, pandemic math. This is To Err Is Human. Now, who wrote this? The Institute of Medicine, okay? The Institute of Medicine, this is why we should be careful. I'm a researcher, and you had to learn all this stuff when you do research. Experts estimate that as many as 98,000 people die in any given year from medical errors that occur in hospitals. I'm not trying to scare anybody, okay? This is not a message. Go to the hospital if you need help. That's what I would do. All right, I'm with you. However, how many is that? Let's round it to 100,000. How many people died in COVID-19 in the United States? Around 1 million. Every 10 years, around 1 million people die from medical errors. How often does a pandemic happen? The chances of it happening in any year, according to some research that I've done, is 1 in 50. So, do you think it might be important to let people make a choice? By the way, in the last 20 years, 1 million people have died from the opioid epidemic. Lots of that has been prescription. Give people a choice, my friends. All right, first, do no harm. That's what they recommend. A key theme in that article says, a careful examination is made of how the surrounding forces of legislation, regulation, and market activity influence the quality of care provided by healthcare organizations, and then looks at their handling of medical mistakes. So why we exist, here's an organization that helps develop vaccines. They said 1 in 50 in any year, okay? So you do the math at home, and you see what turns out better. What will happen if one day someone says, we want to do a health mandate because the climate change issue is affecting your health. Are we going to fall lockstep into that? Let's study that for a second. All right. Now, why am I wanting to study that? Because there's a church, a very wonderful church that I love, that put out a reaffirmation statement about the vaccines. And they said, when you make your choice, make it based off the Bible, the Holy Spirit, prayer, and science. Then you make your choice, right? It's good advice. I appreciate that. However, if you actually read the whole statement, they come down to a place where I think that we need to have a discussion. And it says this, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, now was this the church's decision? No, it was ADCOM's decision, or executive committee. In consultation with the health ministries and public affairs and religious liberty departments of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, is convinced that the vaccination programs that are generally being carried out are important for the safety and health of our members and the larger community. Remember? Therefore, claims of religious liberty are not used appropriately in objecting to government mandates or employer programs designed to protect the health and safety of their communities. You know what that is? Reminds me of a philosophy of Egypt. Who is God? Who are you? We have no king but Caesar. Next, if we use our religious liberty resources in such personal decision advocacy efforts, we believe that we will weaken our religious liberty stance in the eyes of the government and the public. Such efforts would make it likely that these arguments will be heard and appreciated when they are used for matters of worship and religious practice. Question, was the body temple forced into? Were churches closed? Could this be a religious liberty issue? And what does it mean for the future? By the way, people say, this also says, this has generally been the position of the church for the last century since the modern vaccine program was developed. Now, they say, Ellen White didn't write anything about vaccines. Well, modern medicine, what's a vaccine? I've taken plenty, okay, but you should have a choice, right? A modern vaccine is classified as a drug regulated by the Food and Drug Administration, and it is made by drug companies. Did Ellen White write anything about drugs? She certainly did. Okay, so let's be careful about what we say. Next line says, instead of focusing our individual convictions, we should draw more closely together in a relationship with Christ and each other. Don't focus on your individual convictions. Does that sound good? Thank you. And again, I don't want to stir up discontent or hatred towards our leaders. Praise the Lord for the church. It is very possible that people were doing the best they could. However, hindsight, we need to look carefully because this matters very much for what I'm about to show you next. Each nation's law must be consulted about the possibility and availability of religious exemptions for those who have strongly held opinions about being vaccinated against COVID-19. I have a question. Why are we so afraid about... let me read this line first. Seventh-day Adventist Church does not advocate for religious exemptions to vaccination on either a global or national basis based on its understanding of both the Bible and the writings of Ellen White and as expressly expressed in this statement. Dear friends, 90% of states in the United States of America offer religious exemptions when you go to school. Why are we as a church so afraid of standing up for religious rights? Why? I think we need to stand up for the body temple like Daniel stand up for his rights. I think we need to be careful about Caesar. Following blindly, but I praise the Lord that in this instance, even though our church made the statement it did, Caesar protected us in this nation. They said, you still have a choice. Supreme Court said, we're going to stop that, Caesar. Adventist Church still has this statement up on their website. Can we turn around, please? This is my final reading from this document. We would do well to remember that God gave Adam and Eve the freedom of choice in the Garden of Eden. But this is their last part. Although that choice resulted in significant consequences. What are they saying? That choice was dangerous. Now, we know that when you force choices, you end up in devil worship. Revelation 13:4 says that that beast, people who wandered after it, were wandering after the devil and worshiping him. So we need to be very cautious about mixing science and religion. By the way, this is in the Journal of Public Health. It says this, article raises awareness called Science and Religion for COVID-19 Vaccine Promotion. This article raises awareness that though religious liberty leaders play a huge role in promoting the COVID-19 vaccine, they are still bound by the finding of science. Who is God? What this article therefore... So they want to collaborate between science and religion for COVID-19. That's okay. Human rights are disappearing. This is an Australian website about laws that it's okay to take away from people. The right of freedom of association. The right to peacefully assemble. the right to liberty of movement, the right of family reunification, and the right to enter your own community. Those are rights they can take away during a health crisis. Do you think that could be applied to something else in the near future? Yes, it could very well, my friends. Prophetic parallels. We're going to blast through this really fast. Please. And remember, when the worship choice is gone, Christ returns. All right? Here we have Laudato Si. Let's study this for a minute. This was his latest apostolic exhortation. We must move beyond the mentality of appearing to be concerned but not having the courage needed to produce substantial changes. We know that all this pace, in just a few years, we will surpass the maximum recommended limit of 1.5 Celsius and shortly thereafter even reach a 3 degree Celsius with a high risk of arriving at a critical point. And even if we do not reach this point of no return, worshiper, you're going to burn. What should we do about it? In reality, they are filling a space left empty by society as a whole, which ought to exercise a healthy pressure, since every family ought to realize that the future of their children is at stake. What should we do? We need multilateral agreements between states. What's that? That's laws. It is a matter of establishing global and effective rules. What are rules? Laws. One can only hope for binding forms of energy transition. What's that? They need to be efficient, obligatory laws and readily monitored. Penalties in case of noncompliance. Sound similar? The most effective solutions will not come from individual efforts alone, but from all major political decisions on the national and international level. Who are we speaking about here? What power is this? Finally, I reiterate that unless citizens control political power, national, regional, and municipal, it will not be possible to control damage to the environment. Citizens? Does that sound familiar to the great controversy that says the people will force the leaders to do something? All right, are we noticing a pattern here? Okay, I'm going to skip through these things. However, in the past, the Catholic Church has scared people by saying someone was working on Sunday, they got struck by lightning, and it is apparent how the displeasure of God was upon their neglect of this day. Interesting. And that's the original writing. We're not going to go through it. So history of the Sabbath, we'll skip this. I think you're noticing a pattern. Now, why am I bringing this up, folks? This is the scariest part in my mind. Please. If we set a precedent for the pandemics with our statements on our church website, what if we're lockstep ready to accept something else with the statements on our church website? This is the environment. This was put up in 1995. Increasingly, men and women have been involved in destruction of the Earth's resources, resulting in widespread suffering, environmental disarray, and the threat of, you're going to heat up. While scientific research, science is our God, needs to continue, it is clear from the accumulated evidence that the increasing emission of destructive gases, the depletion of protective mantle of ozone, the massive destruction of the American forest, and the so-called greenhouse effect are all threatening the Earth's ecosystem. Are we aligning ourselves? We are. The ecological crisis is rooted in humankind's greed and refusal to practice good and faithful stewardship. This sounds to me like we're getting awfully close to the common good to close ourselves down. And we should discuss this as a church. Why? Because, when was the date on that? Okay, so again, we have a reaffirmation statement. Okay, noticing a pattern? In 2015, when did they do this? As the world leaders gather in Paris for the 21st United Nations Climate Change Conference, the Seventh Adventist Church supports and applauds the efforts of these leaders to come to an agreement to stem the deterioration of our earth due to climate change. Who is in charge of that? In the lead up to 2015 Paris Summit, Pope Francis issued Laudato Si to the world. on the care for our common home, a landmark climate and faith document. Should we be careful what we're signing up to? In 2015, in Paris, countries agreed a framework to limit greenhouse gas emissions. It's often called the Paris Climate Agreement. Pope Francis called with Laudato Si the world's 1.2 billion Catholics to join the fight. I think Adventists are getting pulled in too, to worship or burn the message of Nebuchadnezzar. Let's be careful who we submit ourselves to. If we blindly submit to the kings of the earth, and Babylon is over the kings of the earth, we have set up ourselves to submit to Babylon when we are supposed to come out of her. So our no king but Caesar means we will worship Satan? Sunday? Samson, how do we get here? With all love and tender care, to my dear fathers at the General Conference, Samson slept with the enemy and he lost his vision. Solomon slept with foreign wives and he lost his spiritual vision. David adulterated and tried to cover up with murder. Inhabitants of the earth are drunk with the wine of her fornications. If Adventism is giving controlling interests to other medical organizations, which is happening, maybe we have gotten a little blind with our medical work. We've done some fornication and we've put our children into foster care. Our shepherds struck the flock. They're a little too cozy with the world. We need to wise up like Solomon and turn and break up with Delilah and confess like David and reform like more than Solomon, whose idols remained for generations. I do recommend we pull down the idols and the statements that we should not have. Unless the world leaves the world and walks into our churches and sees no difference and walk back out. Is Caesar our only king in science or savior? Or are we a kingship of priesthood of all believers? Where did this confusion come from? Very briefly, and then I'm going to end on Jesus. What's creating confusion? Praise the Lord for creative people who have found so many ways to reach out to other people. Amen? We have YouTube, we have Facebook, we have a website, we can sing, we can give pamphlets, we can do all sorts of things. And people do it out of good intentions. And I think something has been done recently with very good intentions. And I praise the Lord for those people and the hearts wanting to reach and save. But sometimes when we have good intentions, we have to check ourselves and see, is this good intention in alignment with Bible and spirit of prophecy? Does anybody agree with that? And if we do, we can tell the future. So let me just tell the future for you right now. See that? What's this? The Adventist Review says, discipline and grace hand in hand. I'm about to do that to the Adventist Church. Pray for me. I have done it. I'm doing it a second time. We have a little last page advertisement for something called The Hopeful, right? Praise the Lord for people creatively making media to win other souls. Amen? Now, I'm not even going to show you the picture. The main actor in that, your daughters are going to look up to her and think, wow, that might be a good way to reach people. And we do want to reach people using media. But we want to be very careful, right, about the genres. Just like there's genres in music, correct? Are there genres in media? There are. And we want our children to have good role models. The person who is on the cover of that advertisement is not just on The Hopeful. We've been talking about Babylon and spiritual adultery. She's in a movie called, I don't know her parts because I've not watched these movies. another man's wife. How to have an adulterous party in a small town. Most 2022, I believe, she was a lesbian in a Homer film. Do we want our children looking up to that? With full respect for that lady and what she does, I'm not her judge. All right? I'm asking, why are we using that as an example? And I don't have to ask. You might be asking, where will this end up? You don't have to wonder. Let me show you. I'm going to do this really fast. Why is this happening? Because the church manual was changed. This was taken out. We earnestly warn against the subtle and sinister influence of the moving picture theater, which is no place for the Christian. Okay? We appeal to parents, children, and youth to shun those places of amusement and those theatrical films that glorify professional acting and actors. You don't want your children tied to the wrong person and idolizing them. All right? Finally, we should not be attracted by the puerile portrayals of the theater. That was not the only thing that was deleted. This whole appendix part was deleted. In 2005, it was there. It said this: in the Christian life, there is a complete separating from worldly practices such as card playing, theater going. Where is this being released? I'll read it to you. In select theaters, April of 19 only. Now, don't buy into what I said yet. Keep listening. All right? Ellen White said this: the blessing of God would not be invoked upon the hours spent at the theater or in the dance. No Christian would wish to meet death in such a place. No one would wish to be found there when Christ shall come. What's about to happen, friends? Why are we putting things there? You might think, no problem. Good thing is going to come out of this. No, I'm going to show you right now what's going to come out of this. 100%. Where will this road go? I can promise you where it will go because it's already gone there. This is from an Adventist website. The best profit, this is my, not from the Adventist website. The next pictures will be. The best profit of the future is the past. If you don't want your kids to see this, tell them right now. This is Advent Health Broadway in Orlando, sponsoring Wicked. This is something called Those Unseen. This is the North American Division Adventist website. There's drama, there's blood, there's a little bit of gore. Thankfully, you can't see that very well. Sorry for that side. There's comedical murder. There is a very scary looking picture with a execution on screen right there. By the way, this won an award. It was the winner of the Best in Fest and the Best Dramatic Short at Sunscreen Film Festival 2015, run by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's where it's going. You do not have to wonder where we will go. Christ's method alone is how we should reach people. All those came right there, the bottom corner, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Daniel spoke up. I want to encourage my dear friends and families to speak up. This is my encouragement before Christ, our leader. There's an image of the beast being set up. Is that clear? Anybody been paying attention to the news? How Christians will have more power now than they've ever had in the past? Someone running for president right now has said that. Look at Project 2025 that actually mentions worship. Laws are being flirted. Original Babylon said, worship or you will burn. That's going to come. If we're ruled by Babylon when Christ came the first time, what's the difference between then and now? Jerusalem was ruled by Babylon the first time. It was political Rome. When Christ comes the second time, we're under pagan Rome, which is Christianity. There's no second chance when Christianity rejects Christ and his laws. There's not going to be. For the first coming, they wanted to kill Jesus because he kept the Sabbath differently. For the second coming, his people will be hated because they kept the Sabbath differently. So we should follow Christ, my friends. Who is Christ? This is our conclusion. Jesus' method alone. Jesus gave medical treatments to people who wanted it. Jesus gave choice and asked, "Wilt thou be made whole?" In John 5:6, Jesus did not bribe or coerce. Jesus utilized testimony-based outreach, not mandates. Jesus gave treatments that included no negative side effects. Do the best you can. This is our goal. This is not a condemnation of anyone here or our church. This is our goal. Jesus didn't hide the results when there was partial healing and a blind man saw men like trees in Mark 8:24. Jesus didn't tell someone they were cured while they were still contagious. He sent the lepers away healed in Luke 17:14. Jesus didn't leave those he healed. I'm going to skip the side effects. He gave nothing experimental. He never forced treatment on a healthy person. He didn't quarantine healthy disciples, but sent them to preach, teach, and heal. Jesus said, healthy people do not need a physician. Those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, Jesus didn't force people to worship him. And he knows they're going to burn up. It's only when your choice is taken away and false worship is forced that he comes back and saves his people. Do we want to be, as a Seventh-day Adventist church, aligned with that? No, not the force. Literal Babylon. God's people were going to be thrown in the fire to death. This is my encouragement. But Christ met them in that fire, and the enemies who threw them in perished. In spiritual Babylon, all of you can have faith through the warnings and catastrophes that are coming, the warnings that the earth's going to die unless we force worship, that we can look through with eyes of faith and say, our God can save us. And even if he doesn't, we will not bow down, knowing that we will attain a greater resurrection. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we've seen some patterns in your word. As a loving father, you gave us the scriptures and the prophecies to prepare us for your coming. And you sent Christ to clean us up. And you sent the word to wash us with. And you sent your spirit to make us sweeter and kinder. And you do not want to force people to be in your kingdom, but you're calling them. And you've shown, Lord, you've witnessed that your health laws are beautiful and that your people are 10 times wiser if they would come to the Creator and follow his ways. So, Lord, I pray now, help people come back. Help people take Babylon out of their lives. And, Lord, those who need to come to front and want special prayer, I want to keep studying. I pray that you would help them to come. Everyone who goes home, give them the strength and power to take out Babylon. Give our church a reformation and a revival and a realignment with your word and not with the world. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask these things. Amen.